except two words that never left her behind. Those two words, with me. With me. And Rick Lance makes the point of saying, if I come to the end of my days and most of my faculties are gone and I can only remember one thing, I hope it is to remember, he is with me. How many people today are desperate for that kind of assurance? How many people today just need to know the Lord is with them? With them because they're in the midst of really difficult circumstances. With them because they're going through a season of grief that seems to be unending. With them because they're struggling with problems and they can't figure out how they're ever going to be resolved. With them because they desperately need to know that God is there and God cares. We all need to know at the end of the line, at the bottom of the day, when everything is said, God is with us. No wonder the 23rd Psalm is always spoken to so many people in the midst of so many situations. No wonder so many people can recite the 23rd Psalm if they can't recite any other passage of Scripture. Because we need to know God is with us in times of loss, in times of fear, in times of uncertainty, in times of opportunity, in times of hope. In other words, in all of the situations of life, we need to know God is with us. And that's His constant promise. He will be with you. The Lord indwells the lives of the people who belong to Him. Of all the promises that we need to receive from the Lord, as we've been walking through these last few weeks, looking at God's I will promises to our life, we need to hear this one especially. I will indwell you. There's nowhere you're going to go where I won't be. There's nothing you're going to face where I can't help you. There's never a time when you're not on my mind. You're never separated from me, even for an instant. I am with you. What happens when you understand that that's His promise to your life? Let's look at what the Bible has to teach us this morning as we hear the Lord say to us, I will indwell you. I will be there with you. The first thing you need to know is this. You can have absolute assurance of the indwelling presence of Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not know He's in you? What's the Bible saying? It is saying every believer is given the assurance of the indwelling presence of Christ. If you belong to Him, one of the things you never have to wonder is, where's the Lord? Will He take care of me? Is He protecting me? Is He listening to me? Where is the Lord? Because the Bible says, do you not know that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is in you? I've been pastoring for a long time, and if you ask me, the number one reason people have come to talk to me about things going on in their spiritual lives, I would say the number one issue is doubt. There's some kind of doubt, some source of doubt in their lives. Some people doubt whether they've ever been saved. Particularly folks who are adults and made decisions as children, they begin to come and say, was it real? Did it really happen? Am I really in a right relationship with God? Am I saved? Some people wonder whether, as a believer, they've committed some sin that was so egregious that God's turned His back and He's not paying attention anymore. Some people doubt whether God is listening. Because of the struggles they're experiencing. Doubt, doubt, doubt. Let me tell you something. When believers struggle with doubt, one of two things is usually the problem. The first one is this. They believe that God's assurance is conditional. I know God's with me unless. I really mess up. I know God is with me unless his mind is distracted somewhere else. I know God is with me unless he's paying more attention to somebody else and he doesn't have time for me. There's that sense that God's assurance, I will be with you, is a conditional thing. I'll be with you most of the time, some of the time, part of the time. But I won't be with you all the time. And because of that, there's that sense of sometimes God just leaves me out to myself. And I'm all alone and I have to answer my own questions. The other source of doubt is simply this. They've never been truly saved. They're struggling with doubt because they never have come to know the Lord in a personal way. So let me go back, and I need to tell you, follow through on this, because I don't want anybody leaving here today and saying, you know, I always thought I was a Christian, but then Cooley got up in front of us, and now I'm wondering if it's true. You know, I don't know when you came to know Christ. I came to know him as an 8-year-old. It was one of the most natural things in the world for me, because I've been raised and prepared for that moment, and we've seen that happen with numbers of children in our own church, and maybe that's your experience. And sometimes as you get older and as you mature, you begin to ask the questions about whether that was real, because you think, I didn't understand everything. I didn't have a real grasp of what it means to follow Jesus. And let me tell you something. Number one, you don't have a real grasp of what it means to follow Jesus completely yet. That's going to be the rest of your life coming along. But these are the two questions I ask people when they begin to question something as significant as salvation that happened as a child in their childhood. Two questions are really important. So when you came to Christ, number one, I want to know, were you serious? Were you serious? It wasn't a matter of my friends walked the aisle, so I walked the aisle with them. It wasn't somebody told me that's what I was supposed to do, so I did it. It was, there came that day in my life when I knew I needed a Savior. I needed Jesus Christ. And so I invited him into my life. I walked an aisle. I made a commitment to Jesus in my life. Were you serious? And then the second question is really, really important. And it is simply this. If you were serious, is God trustworthy? Because if he is, and you sincerely invited him into your heart, that's where he is. He took you seriously and grew you from that point. So as you leave today and as you look at your own life, those are the two questions you ask yourself. Was I serious? Is God trustworthy? Because here's the truth. The Bible says that God wants you to live with the absolute assurance that Christ dwells in you. And that's why Ephesians says, examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Just look at your life and ask yourself the question, have I accepted Christ as my Savior? Can you point to that time in your life when you asked the Lord to forgive your sins and come into your life? If you can, then he's dwelling in you. He has from the moment you trusted him, and he will for the rest of your life and into eternity. He came on the day you were saved. He will never go away. If you can't point to that time, that moment, that occasion, then trusting Christ is the most important thing you need to do. Before anything else, you examine yourself and simply ask the question, am I a believer? Have I trusted Jesus? And if you haven't, then nothing else I say this morning matters until you settle that issue with him and invite him to forgive your sins, to be your Savior, to be your Lord. And when you believe, he will come to indwell your heart and your mind. How do I know that? How do I know that if you're a believer, then you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, by Christ Himself. But you know what? It really doesn't matter what I know. It's what God declares that makes all the difference. And this is what God declares. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Fear not, for I am with you. That's pretty rock solid, isn't it? See, it doesn't matter what I think or what you think or what I believe or what you believe. What matters is that the Lord has declared, don't be afraid, I am with you. You belong to me, and I'm not going anywhere. His assurance is absolute. It is without condition. You know, we live in a world that's full of small print and conditional promises. We're used to living in a world where you better be careful about what you're doing because somebody's trying to pull something over on you. You know, if I ever had a second occupation, I think what I would like to do is be that guy at the end of those commercials. They just talk really fast, tell you all kind of stuff, you know. And if you listen really closely to what he's really saying is, all that stuff we've been telling you about in this commercial, it's not real, it doesn't work, don't pay any attention to it, but we had to say it. What a great job that would be. And we live in that kind of world, don't we? You know, how many times as you sit down in front of your laptop, do you click that little button that says, I accept, and it's got all that tiny print, and you don't know what it does. You don't know if it says, you know, I promise you that I will give you my firstborn child. We don't know what it says. We just click, I accept. And we move on, and we're used to living in that kind of world that always has the fine print, always has the quick talkers. The Lord's not like that. He wants you to know clearly and confidently that He will be with you whatever happens in your life. And so He says it plainly, don't be afraid, I am with you. Deuteronomy, he says it this way, be strong and of good courage, do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. There's no fine print in that promise, is there? He will not leave you or forsake you. He will always be there. Let me tell you something you can be sure of. There are going to be times when you need a shepherd. There are going to be times when if he doesn't help you, you have no hope. There are going to be times when you find yourself walking through the valley of the shadow of death. One of the things we need to understand about the 23rd Psalm is all of those conditions and situations that David describes in that Psalm, they are all assurances. These times are going to happen in your life. You're going to go through times of struggle. You're going to go through seasons of darkness. You're going to go through situations of fear. It's going to happen to you. It may be happening right now. And when those times come, you need to know, I am not alone. If nobody else stands beside me, the Lord is with me. And He will keep His promise to the utmost. He will always be there for you. The Bible also says this, you will find the strength you need through the presence of the indwelling Christ. You see, the Lord doesn't just promise us His presence when you need Him the most. He also promises His power to see us through and to overcome. Here's what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. When you're confident that He indwells you, you need to know this too. And that means you can live dependently. You know, all of us think what we want more than anything is independence, but the honest truth is what we need more than anything is dependence, the resurrection power of the crucified Christ flowing through our lives. How foolish is it if we say the power of God in the presence of God is available to me, but I don't want it. I want to do it all by myself. I can make it without the Lord. You know, last Sunday I compared the power of Christ to that of an extension cord and talked about the fact that really what we want to do is let the power of God flow through us and into the lives of the people around us. That because He has empowered us, He has empowered us to live our lives with impact, to make a difference for Christ. How foolish would it be if that extension cord at some point said, you know what, I'm tired of depending upon the Lord. I'm tired of depending upon the power that comes from that outlet. I'm going to unplug myself and show what a difference I can make apart from that power. What's going to happen? Powerlessness. Instant. Powerlessness. Let me tell you something. You are not designed to live apart from Christ. You are not designed to live powerfully without His presence. A life that is indwelled is a life that is deliberately dependent upon the power of Jesus. No wonder Hebrews 13:6 declares, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will boldly say, my power comes from the presence of Christ within me. You're never going to be independent. You're never going to be self-sufficient. You're never going to reach that point of total spiritual sufficiency apart from a constant dependence upon the Lord. Never forget, years ago, one of the churches I served, a lady came to me after church and she said, I just want you to know I won't be back on Sunday nights anymore. And I said, well, what's happened? Has somebody made you mad? Have I said something you didn't like? Why are you not? And she said, no. She said, I've just been going to church all of my life and following the Lord. And, you know, Sunday nights are about discipleship, and I think I'm pretty well discipled. There's nothing else I need, so I'll be staying home from now on. Let me tell you something. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. You can never say to yourself, I have reached that point in my spiritual life where I have finally arrived, and now I can make it without the Lord. It just won't happen. See, it's never about what I can do for Christ. It's what I can do through Christ who dwells in me. And then the Bible says this. It says that when Christ indwells you, He will transform you. He'll make you something completely different. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, probably my favorite description of what happens when Christ lives in you. Listen to what it says. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. And that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, when all of those things are going on in your life, maybe then you can take a step back, but not until. What an incredible prayer for believers to have a lifestyle, a life filled with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is what else Ephesians 3 says. It says, when you let the indwelling Jesus have His way, you're going to change. Everything about that description in Ephesians continues to say, and this is how you're going to be different, and this is how you're going to be different, and this is how you're going to be different, and this is how you're going to be different. You will not be the same person when Christ lives in your heart. The more you know Him, the more you're going to become conformed to His image. What the Bible is saying is simply this. When Jesus indwells your heart, you become a new creation. You become a different person. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You turn into somebody completely different. One of the most frustrating things that you can do spiritually is to say, you know what? I'm going to treat Christ as an add-on to my life. You know, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to follow my desires. And then I'll throw the Lord in there at the end. You know, I will live my week my way. I will take Sundays and give that to the Lord. And here's the thing. Jesus doesn't come into your life to be an add-on. He comes to be an instead of. He comes to transform you. So let me give you some good advice this morning. If you want to be unchanged, you need to keep your distance from Jesus. Because He's going to change you. If you give Him the opportunity, He will transform your life. The truth is, the Lord is not interested in us living a status quo kind of life. He doesn't want us to be the same. We're just a little something added on top. From the moment He comes to indwell your life, He starts changing things around. He does away with old things. He replaces them with new things. He makes things that used to be big, small. He causes things that used to be small to become the most important things in the world. And He will not leave you alone while He changes you. Here's the secret. The more He transforms you, the better you like it. You know, too many people are afraid, if I take Christ seriously, He's going to take away the things that are most important in my life, the things I'm trying to hang on to with all of my might. You know, Lord, I want to trust You. I want to follow You. I want to believe in You. But there's stuff You can't have. There are places in my life I will not let go of. I'm going to hang on to those no matter what You try to do. And because of that, they find themselves stunted and crippled spiritually. Reminds me of a story that Bob Benson told a long time ago about a church picnic. You know, the old-fashioned church picnics where when the service is over, everybody goes outside and there are those old concrete tables that you used to see everywhere. And everybody brings their lunch that day and you just kind of scatter out and sit down with your lunch and enjoy the fellowship that you have with others around you. And he tells a story about that time when you knew the church picnic was coming up, but you didn't do anything to prepare. And then you got up that morning, that Sunday morning, and you hadn't done anything. You didn't cook anything. You didn't fix anything. You didn't buy anything. You don't have anything. But you want to be part of the picnic. You want to be part of the fellowship. So you stumble around and scrap around, and you find a couple of stale pieces of bread and a piece of week-old bologna that's starting to get a little hard on the edges. And you slap some mustard on that bread and you put that piece of bologna on it and you put it in a baggie and stick it in a brown paper sack and off you go to the church picnic. Well, the service goes really well and then finally the time comes to eat and you go outside and you take your little brown paper bag with your bologna sandwich in it and you sit down between two families and you look over here and here's this family. Oh, roast beef and gravy. Mashed potatoes. Corn on the cob, peach pie. Oh, they came ready to go. And you look at this family over here, and homemade fried chicken. Can you believe that? Butter beans, potato salad, blackberry cobbler. Oh, it's wonderful. And they spread out their meal for their family, and they spread out their meal for their family, and you get out your bologna sandwich. And this family notices what's going on, and so they say to everybody at the table, I know what let's do. Let's put everything together. Why don't we do that? You put what you've brought, and we'll put what we brought, and you put what you've brought, and we'll just all put it together, and we'll share it out, and everybody will have plenty. And you say to them, oh, I see what's going on. You want my sandwich. You're trying to take it away from me. And you think I'll give up my bologna sandwich for your fried chicken and your roast beef? You think I'm going to eat your fresh vegetables and you're going to get my stale bread? No way, no way that's going to happen. And the same thing happens in our lives spiritually. The indwelling Christ says, this is what I'm going to do. I will bring everything I am into everything you are, and I'll make something special out of your life. And you say to him, oh no, I see what you're up to. You're trying to take my life. You're trying to get my stuff. I'm not going to do it. And you miss out on the most incredible promises the Lord's ever made to your life. We don't turn away. We turn to the Lord. How does he go about his transforming work? Well, the Bible gives us three things that God does. He transforms you with his abiding spirit. It's a promise Jesus made to his disciples in the upper room. He said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Don't you love that last phrase? He dwells with you and will be in you. One of the things that happens as we become believers is simply this. The Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, comes to dwell in us and empowers us to do things we cannot do apart from the Lord. Empowers us to know him in ways we can't know him unless he's dwelling in us. It is the Holy Spirit that guides you and strengthens you and convicts you and comforts you and challenges you and opens doors for you so that you can live what God has planned for your life. He transforms you with his Spirit. And then he transforms you with his abiding Word. Jesus also made this promise. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. You know, it's very interesting to me. Most times when people read that passage, the thing they see the most is that part about you can ask what you want and it will be given to you. But Jesus gives us that condition. That begins to happen not when we change God to give us what we ask, but when God changes us so that we ask for the things that matter the most. It is a matter of our heart being transformed so that we're not the same person anymore. You expose yourself to the Word of God, and it goes to work. It challenges, it teaches, it reveals. And Hebrews says it does spiritual surgery in your life. And it changes you. And then he transforms you with his abiding promises. Paul, writing to Colossians, says this: "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it," and he's talking about getting news of how the Lord has come, the Colossians have come to know the Lord, and they've trusted him as Savior. He says, "Since we heard of that, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." As soon as you trust him, he begins to indwell you and he begins to fulfill those promises in your life, that you may know his will, that you may have his wisdom, that you may practice spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God, that you may please the Lord, that your life will bear fruit. In other words, I take you and I make you into something that's flourishing and growing and fruitful. Jesus has made us a promise. I will abide in you. I will bring my presence. I will bring my power. I will bring my promises. So what do you have to bring to the table? That's the real question. If he's going to bring all of that through his abiding presence, what do you bring to the table? You bring your trust. You bring your obedience. It's all you have to bring. You trust him. You obey him. And he does the rest. He changes you from the inside out, transforms your life from the outside in. But it begins with trust. So a little earlier, I asked the question, do you know him in a personal way? Has there been that moment in your life when you know, I asked Christ to forgive me, to save me, to give me a new life? If not, then in a moment as we stand and we sing our invitation hymn, that's your opportunity to slip up your hand and simply say, that's what I need to do today. I need to know Christ. I'll be looking, our staff will be looking. We would love to talk to you about how you can come to know the Lord, to know Jesus as your personal, living, indwelling Savior. Or maybe you're here and you're recognizing, you know, if I'm really going to be obedient to the Lord, he's calling me to just plant myself right here at First Baptist. Today I want to become a member, not just an attender. I want to become a member of this church. Maybe there's something else he's dealing with. As he indwells you, you know. I don't know. The people around you don't know, but you know. This is where God's at work in my life. And today you simply need to say to him, Lord, you have your way. In this situation, with this part of my life, you have your way. I surrender. It's your decision you need to make. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. As God speaks, you respond. Let's stand together. good to share this time in the Lord's house, to hear the promises from the Lord, to know He indwells us and He's never leaving us. Let's bow together for our final prayer and then one last song. Father, we do pray. Help us, Lord, to depend upon the abiding Christ within. Lord, we know we can't do it apart from You. And we know because we've tried it far too often. But Lord, help us to depend upon You with all our minds, all our hearts, all our strength. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.